Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 15, the Yoga of the Supreme Person, text number 7. Amai vangso jivaloke, jiva bhuta sanatana, manakshastran indriyani, prakriti stani karshiti. Mama, my, eva, certainly, amsha, fragmental particle, jivaloke, in the world of conditional life, jiva bhutaha, the conditioned living entity, sanatana, eternal, manaha, with the mind, Shastani, the six, Indriyani, senses, Prakriti, immaterial nature, Stani, situated, Karshati, is struggling hard. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to the conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Purport. In this verse, the identity of the living being is clearly given. The living entity is a fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, eternally. It is not that he assumes individuality in his conditional life, and his liberated state becomes one with the Supreme Lord. He is eternally fragmented. It is clearly said here, Sanatana. According to the Vedic version, the Supreme Lord manifests and expands himself in innumerable expansions, of which the primary expansions are called Vishnu Tattva, and the secondary expansions are called the living entities. In other words, the Vishnu Tattva is the personal expansion, and the living entities are the separated expansions. By his personal expansion, he is manifested in various forms like Lord Ram, Nrisimhadev, Vishnumurti, and all the predominating deities in the Vaikuntha planets. The separated expansions of living entities are eternally servitors. The personal expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the individual identities of the Godhead, are always present. Similarly, the separated expansions of living entities have their identities. As fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, the living entities also have fragmental portions of his qualities, of which independence is one. Every living entity, as an individual soul, has his personal individuality and a minute form of independence. By misuse of that independence, one becomes a conditioned soul. And by the proper use of independence, he is always liberated. In either case, he is qualitatively eternal, as the Supreme Lord is. In his liberated state, he is freed from this material condition, and he is under the engagement of transcendental service unto the Lord. In his conditioned life, he is dominated by material modes of nature, and he forgets the transcendental loving service of the Lord. As a result, he has to struggle very hard to maintain his existence in the material world. The living entities, not only human beings and the cats and dogs, but even the greater controllers of the material world, Brahma, Lord Shiva, and even Vishnu, are all parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. They're all eternal, and they're all eternal, not temporary manifestations. The word karshati, struggling or grappling hard, is very significant. The conditioned soul is bound up as though shackled by iron chains. He is bound up by the false ego, and the mind is the chief agent which is driving him in this material existence. When the mind is in the mode of goodness, his activities are good. When the mind is in the mode of passion, his activities are troublesome. And when the mind is in the mode of ignorance, he travels in the lower species of life. It is clear, however, in this verse that the conditioned soul is converted by the material, is covered by the material body with the mind and the senses, And when he's liberated, this material covering perishes. But his spiritual body manifests itself in its individual capacity. The following information is there in the Madhyanayana Shruti. Sa va esha brahma nishta idam shariram martyam atishrishya brahma bi sampadya brahmana pashiti brahmana shinoti brahmanai vedam sarvam anubhavati. It is stated here that when a living entity gives up this material embodiment and enters into the spiritual world, he revives his spiritual body. And in his spiritual body, he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He can hear and speak to him face to face, and he can understand the Supreme Personality as he is. From the Shruti also it is understood, Vasanti Yatra Purusha Sarva Vaikuntha Murtayaha. In the spiritual planets, everyone lives in bodies featured like the Supreme Personality of Godheads. As far as bodily construction is concerned, there is no difference between the part and parcel living entities and the expansions of Vishnumurti. In other words, at liberation, the living entity gets a spiritual body by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Mamai Vangsa, fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, are also very significant. The fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord is not like some material broken part. We have already understood in the second chapter that the spirit cannot be cut into pieces. This fragment is not materially conceived. It is not like matter, which can be cut into pieces and joined together again. That conception is not applicable here, because the Sanskrit word sanatana, eternal, is used. The fragmental portion is eternal. It is also stated in the beginning of the second chapter that in each and every material body, the fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord is present. Denos minita dehe. That fragmental portion, when liberated from the bodily entanglement, revives its original spiritual body in the spiritual sky and a spiritual planet and enjoys association with the Supreme Lord. It is, however, understood here that the living entity, being the fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, is qualitatively one with the Lord, just as the parts and parcels of gold are also gold. So the verse again. Mamai vangso jiva loke jiva bhutak sanatana manakshastran indriyani prakriti sani karshiti. The living entities in this conditional world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. So anyone who's been in the Hare Krishna movement or attending classes for a week has probably heard these conceptions seven times in 1 week. And if you've been around for a few years, you've heard them maybe 150, 200, 300 times. So why is it we're going over the same thing again and again? Well, mainly because we never really hear these things. And even if we heard them, we don't accept them, so we don't really hear them. So we have to go over it again and again and again. Basically, the conceptions are, number one, that we're all eternally individuals, and that there's a supreme individual personality. His name is Krishna, and he's always Krishna, he's always God, and we're always fragmental portions of him. Now, this is extremely difficult for any conditioned soul to accept, because that's why we're conditioned souls. So if you're a conditioned soul and you think, I've accepted this, well, it's not possible. If you accepted it, you wouldn't be a conditioned soul. And if you're conditioned soul, it's because we haven't accepted these things. That's why we go over it again until we understand it progressively. In other words, it's not a question, as Prabhupada said, blind following or absurd inquiries. It's not a question of just blindly following it. Yes, I'm a spiritual soul, and Krishna is God, and let's go on. Now it's a question of coming to the realization, and when we come to the realization, then we can understand what's actually being said here in reality. To imagine ourselves in a spiritual planet, in a spiritual body, doing spiritual activities is not possible right now. We can do it, but it has nothing to do with reality, or very little to do with reality, because we are a spiritual body, and there are spiritual activities, and we're trying to do them now so we can realize that we're who we are. But until we're in a spiritual body, until we're actually doing the activities, that is the experience of a spiritual, being a spiritual person and a spiritual body, it remains at least somewhat theoretical, if not largely theoretical. But Prabhupada is emphasizing this in this particular verse. In other verses, he tells us, for instance, in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he tells us the three states of illusion that cause us to think that we're a material body. Now, there are more than three stages of illusion. Our whole philosophy is so that we can find out where we're at presently, what illusion is affecting us presently, so that we can work on it. In other words, we can work on one problem at a time. And it should be the problem that's most prominent in our lives at this time. That's why we have so many books written, just to identify what our present situation is and what the next step is, so we can make progress towards the goal. Now here the goal is defined as being in a spiritual body, in a spiritual planet, in our individual identity, and in a relation with the Supreme Lord. But how do we get there? When we chant japa and we fall asleep. And we're not dreaming about our, you know, being in the spiritual world either. How do we get there when we chant japa? We couldn't care less. We could be chanting some nursery rhyme and it had the same meaning to us. The only difference is we were obliged to sit there for 2 hours chanting japa, trying to get the rounds done so we can, you know, get relieved. Ah, finally, do something of significance in my life. Something interesting. Where's the newspaper? Find out what's really going on. So those are different, those are stages, those are actually advanced stages when you realize that I'm indifferent to the holy name, I fall asleep when I chant the holy name, I have no taste of the holy name, I'm distracted by other things, other interests. So that's actually in a more advanced stage. What to speak of when we're just trying to get over our misconceptions that I'm the center of the Hare Krishna movement. What to speak of the center of the universe. That everyone here is more or less like I'm the hero or the heroine, and everyone else is a subordinate part in my play, in my drama. And they only have significance in my drama according to how they fit into my drama, how I fit them into the drama. Otherwise, my my cast of supporting characters, you know, and if they don't want to support me, then they can find another play, as far as I'm concerned. So what to speak of that level of consciousness? And if we think, well, I don't have that level of consciousness, I'm a pure devotee. Yeah, then we'll never get over that level of consciousness. I'm a pure devotee. Everyone should worship me. They should be part of my play, because I'm the pure devotee. And all of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. The fools, they deride me, my descending in this human form. In any case, for instance, in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and the 10th verse, after Krishna says, you should understand that I'm God, that I've appeared here, not because like you, I know where I came from. When you're a little baby, a child, at least in America, they ask your mother, Mother, Mom, where did I come from? And Mom says, you came from the stalk brought you. Really, I was wondering. But Krishna doesn't think like that. He knows where he was before, even millions of years ago, and he knows where he is now. So he's not like us. So that's a little hard to understand. They hear Krishna speaking, we think, you know, how did Krishna get here? Maybe the stalk brought him. But Krishna is not on that level. So Krishna says, in Janma Karma Tame Divyam, that one who knows how I got here, and it wasn't from the stalk, and he knows what I'm doing here, my transcendental activities, then he doesn't have to take birth again. So it's not so easy to understand these things by realization. We can take a test, you know, how did Krishna get here? Oh, he appeared here in, by his internal energy. But there's no, there may, anyone after a week of being in the Hare Krishna movement could pass that test as they went through the fourth chapter. But that doesn't mean they've accepted it or realized it or experienced it. It just means that they know theoretically, they have the knowledge, but they can't, you know, as they went over the other day, they don't have that perspective. When they see the deity, they think, you know, how did they get here? Well, someone brought them from India, that's how they got here. They don't have the perspective that maybe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to come here. But how could he decide, you know? He was made in India. He got shipped over here. He came here by the mercy of DSL or something. So we don't have that perspective of how even the deity got here. What to speak of Krishna? Do we actually believe that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to come here? And he agreed that he allowed us to come here. We think, well, I just came here because I wanted to come here. And they came here because they were shipped over by DSL or whatever it was. So we have to get a perspective, even our normal activities. And what to speak of conviction, that we've actually realized it, that it's actually 100% clear, so much so that we're going to work according to that and develop the skills that are necessary to serve Krishna, serve the deity. So in the fourth chapter, in the next verse, Krishna says, Vita Raga Bhayakrodha, that there are certain things that we have to get over that block us from understanding how Krishna is actually, why he came here, and how he came here, and what he did when he was here. One of them is called Raga, Krodha, Vita Raga, Bhaya, and fear. That we're anxious to become the laws of material nature. Maybe we don't want to become, you know, God in the sense, we're not prepared yet to rule the whole universe. Although there are some religions that they claim they're going to prepare you to rule the universe. And then when you get really good at ruling a universe, they'll give you two to rule. And then after a while, it's a it's a pyramid. Something kind of, when you sell things, it's a pyramid scheme. You can, once you get two universes, then you get four and whatever, and then you keep on going. Your whole idea is, and more universes, you rule over. And maybe you get more and more heads as you go along. So the idea is that to understand lust, raga, dvesha, vita raga vaya krodha, how this fear is born out of this desire to lord over the material nature. And because of that, we don't understand Krishna, because we're covered by the material nature, and the symptom is lust, fear, and vita raga, raga bhaya, krodha, and anger. And how does that manifest itself in a day-to-day experience? That we're always, our general conception, our general experience is material. We think the whole universe is just material. And there may be something called spiritual, but it's more or less, it's theoretical, because most of the time we're working on the material platform. Even we keep on hearing that we're a spirit soul, but we think that actually we're a spirit soul, you know, we're a material body manifesting as, I don't know, that the material body and the mind and the intelligence are us. And there may be, that is the soul. And then when we hear that we're not this body, that we're the consciousness within the body, then something may click for a few minutes, We say, yeah, that's right, I'm a spirit soul. And then we get back to the material conception again. Our daily activities, we act as if we're a material body and mind with material intelligence. And our most precious thing we have to guard against, to nurture, is our false ego. Oh, you did a great job, Prabhu. Yes, I know. It's just, you know, because I'm great. I mean, because I'm humble. Therefore, naturally, I do a great job because of my humility. It's all Krishna's mercy, Prabhu. See how much I realize. I understand. Prabhu. It's Krishna's mercy. That's why I'm so great. It's all due to Krishna's mercy. Because I'm so worthy of becoming great. I mean, because I'm so humble. So this material conception is quite prominent. As long as if we look in the mirror and we think that's me, I got an extra wrinkle. That's not possible, man.
I'm getting old.
God, Krishna, help. And that's the product that we're not fully there yet in Krishna consciousness. Vita raga, you know, attachment. Well, that's attachment. And then baya, oh no, I'm getting old, I'm gonna die, you know. All my good work is I won't get any credit for any, I'll have to go somewhere else, and what's gonna be left? Maybe they'll have a little tomb and people will say, well, you did a good job, wherever he is now. So this fear of personal spiritual identity, as the president says in the purport, we're afraid that right now I have this material identification, and if I go to the spiritual world, people are just going to look around and say, hey, this is a newcomer. Maybe you should wash the toilets here. And forever I'm washing the toilets. You say, wait a second, I've been here for, you know, how long have I been here? Not long enough, Prabhu. Keep on washing the toilets. I'm going to got to do this how long? Eternally. You want to work in the kitchen, you can cut potatoes. But you're a newcomer. We've been here eternally. You just came. So we're afraid that I'm going to get my spiritual identity and think, my God, I'm a girl. I'm a gopi. Wait a second. I don't want to be a gopi. They don't have equal rights there. They just do all the cooking. They just sit around making garlands all the time. I want to go out and play. So I'm afraid I'm going to find out who I am and I won't like it. And then we become angry that actually everything I'm doing is useless. At the end, I just merge in Brahman anyhow. And I could have enjoyed during this life. I just, at the end, I realized that Krishna is not really there. And I just used up my life. I only had 3 seconds left to enjoy in the material world. Then I can't enjoy because I'm about to leave. Oh, frustration. So there's all these conceptions, you know. There's all these fears and whatever. And until we sadhana bhakti, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, is meant to overcome these feels, these fears and these desires and these misconceptions, gradually, step by step. It's not, now I've heard it, now I understand, now the fear and the anxiety and the anger will all go away. No, it has to be done in practical devotional service. By chanting our rounds better, by reading, learning how to read properly, by learning how to do devotional service with care and attention, by developing a relationship with the devotees, so that we see them differently. You know, rather than objects that, you know, I say something, everyone goes, yeah, I go, it's all right. I know I'm great, but, you know, thank you for acknowledging it. Rather than seeing the objects as the devotees, or people as the objects of our exploitation, see them as the objects of our service. And then our mentality will change. And then we'll be able to enter into actual spiritual life. Anyhow, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? We have our microphone. Here's a question here.
Hare Krishna. I'm just
wondering, shall we, like in every act or in every situation, just to remember that we are the servant, not that...
That would be nice if we could do that. Yeah, I don't think we're about to do
sometimes
that.
Sometimes it's quite difficult.
That would be, yeah, well, that's our goal. We want to do that. So at the beginning we accept things that are favorable. So that should help us do that. And then we'll make progress in doing that when we give up the things that are unfavorable. So there's a process of coming to that platform. It's not that either we do it or we don't do it. There's a process to help us do it. And then when we follow the process, one day we won't be able to think of any other way except for that. But we have to go through it, the process.
Just to try and constantly remembering.
You could try. I mean, good luck. It's not so easy just,
yeah,
you know, just retire from everything and just try and chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. You'll be able to do it. Don't eat or sleep or do anything else. But if we follow the process of sadhana bhakti, we learn how to chant our rounds better. We have a regulated process, especially worshiping the deities, chanting our rounds, and then serving the devotees. We have to, and then helping the innocent, preaching. These are all meant to bring us to that platform. So when we spend time doing it, then gradually we make progress towards that. Of course, we should try. During the day, we can remember Krishna. That's very nice. But we shouldn't, you know, we go for some time without remembering Krishna. We think I'm a failure. I give up. I try to remember him the whole day. I only remembered him for half an hour. The process doesn't work. I quit. No, we have to be happy that we make some progress towards that. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandaraj Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.